Thank you. morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. It's a wonderful day to celebrate all the mothers in our lives. I hope that all the partners out there got some good gifts. If you need tips, I'll tell you, don't give a gift to your wife and say you're leaving on Mother's Day morning to come deacon. So please join me in our responsive call to worship that you'll find in your bulletins. Like a tender parent who supports a child's first steps, like a loving grandparent who welcomes us with warmth, wisdom, acceptance, and affection, like a lasting and listening friend who seems to sense our needs,
God listens and mysteriously works for our good and for our growth, all of our days.
In many ways and through many faces,
God loves us this day and every day. Let us give thanks and rejoice in our time of quiet reflection, singing, praying, and in our worship together.
Please join with me in prayer. O God, the source of all life, it was you who mysteriously knit us in our mother's wombs. It was you who nurtured us through the love of our family and friends. And it is you who energizes us through the outpouring of your spirit and affection. You form us and you break us apart that we might return to you. Be with us this day, O God, as we celebrate the reality and vitality of your presence among us in this time of worship, where we seek to understand what it means to be a church, a family, and a community of caring people. We pray all this in the name of our faithful Lord and servant, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Every Sunday is wonderful, but today is extra special as we honor all of our mothers, all of us, you who are mothers here, and all of us who have had mothers. It's a pleasure to be serving today as a deacon. You may notice I am not Paul, Laura, or Dave. I am serving as deacon, and Paul and Laura are away at a family wedding in New Hampshire. So we wish them well and safe travels, as we do for Dave Stewart, who is at his daughter's graduation with his wife, Peggy. Dave, as you know, is our seminarian. So congratulations to Vicky. It's a big weekend, and there's a lot going on. So let me just take this opportunity to begin by welcoming back Reverend Dr. Ned Parker, who will be at our pulpit today. We got to know Ned last summer in August when he was here while Paul and Laura were on vacation. And it's great to have you back, Ned. You are a good friend of SCC. I should not omit that part. And we always love to have you here. You can all read about Ned in your bulletins. He said if you get bored during her sermon, you could read about him, but I'm sure that won't happen. Ned is the assistant dean of Andover Newton Seminary, and so it's a double privilege to have Ned here, knowing his very busy schedule. Before I go any further, let me first invite all of you to our coffee and fellowship hour that's just through the doors on either side here. The men are hosting today to honor the mothers, so the mothers had a break from doing that. And also, I want to invite you to take a moment to fill out the friendship registers that are on the inside and outside aisles of your pews. If you want to jot down your name, just so that we know you were here. If you want to share your contact information, if we don't have that, we would love to have that so we can keep you in connection with the church so you know what's going on here. I'll invite you also to please read all the messages in your bulletins. There's a lot going on. I'm not going to read everything, but I will share one technical issue that seems to be going on. Some of the email addresses from Yahoo, AOL, or Google are having interference. I wouldn't pretend to know why that's happening, but there are some issues. We have gotten some bounce back emails from the church distribution list. So if you feel like you're not getting as many emails you used to get from the church, let somebody know, because we want you to have those communications. And also, if you have reached out to the church and not gotten a response, that's very likely what's happening there. So please let Pam or somebody at the church know so we can be in touch with you. And that's the end of my announcements. Now it's time for the cherubs.
Thank you. guys. That was so cute. I'm sorry if I'm crying. I don't need to raise this much. But I know. Hi, guys. That's a tough act to follow. Thank you. All right. So today I want to talk to you guys about doing the right thing. But I have a question for you first. Have you guys ever done the right thing for somebody and gone out of your way to do something that you felt like was really, really nice, and then the person that you were doing it for didn't like it or didn't respond in a nice way back? Yeah? Can you guys raise your hands if you've had that experience? Like maybe waking your mom up really excitedly on Mother's Day? Yeah? Does anyone have an example of a time that that happened to them? That you want to share? Elle, you told me one the other day. No? What was it? Oh, you helped them up off the ground at recess and then they stuck their tongue out at you? Maybe they were embarrassed, right? So does anybody know why we do? Oh, you have one, Ophelia? You want to share? No. Well, thank you for letting me know. Yeah, this happens a lot. This happened to me last week, so I've really been thinking about it. And I wanted to ask you guys if you know what the Bible says about doing nice things and why we do them. Does anybody know? Okay. Well, one of the things the Bible says is that we don't do to get something back in recognition right away, right? We do the right thing because we know it's the right thing based on what we know and our values and what we learn here at church and school. And what they actually say, I'm going to need to pull this up because I'm forgetting. But I put it in my notes here. Sorry, guys, if I can find it. But what they say about doing the right thing is that we do the right thing because it, now I'm forgetting it, I'm losing my place, sorry, thank you. That basically we do the right thing because it's what we've been taught by God and that he's always watching and that we're not doing things to get praise in return. We're doing the right thing because it makes us feel good inside. So I want you to think about that. And when you go through the day and you know you've done something good, remember what that feels like inside. Do you guys remember Laura's delete button? Like when we need to rewind? Sometimes it's okay to use that button just to pause and to think about how we feel in the moment of doing something good, even when the person we're doing it for doesn't recognize it. So I want you guys to try practicing that throughout the week, okay? And when you do a good thing, if you remember it, maybe you could tell me about it next time, okay? All right, thank you everyone. Time to go to rehearsal. Let's go.
This morning we pray for our world and for those living in war-torn countries, those hungry and afraid. We pray for those in our country who are struggling and for those in our own backyards who are struggling, hungry, and afraid. We pray for continued strength, healing, and courage for those who are processing and dealing with life-changing diagnoses. We pray for those who are in recovery for alcoholism and addiction and their families, and for those who have not yet found recovery. May they find hope and willingness to surrender to a higher power. We pray for those going through treatments of chemotherapy and radiation, for all those who have had recent surgeries and are recovering. Specifically, we pray for the mother of Allie Klutz, who recently went through cancer surgery and is now recovering, and for Allie's husband, Deacon Brad Swarza, prayers for Brad's mother, who's in the hospital with pneumonia. And we pray for celebration for our college students graduating this weekend and in the coming weeks, including Dave Stewart's daughter, who I mentioned, who is graduating from Madison, Wisconsin, which happens to be my alma mater. May God bless our graduates and their families. Congratulations. And of course, blessings to all our mothers who are here today, including godmothers and stepmothers, and to all of our own mothers and grandmothers, living and past. Let us pray. Our loving God and Creator, we thank you for this day, another amazing gift of your life, God, and what a gift it is to be alive, to have the opportunity and to be able to say thank you. And as a brand new day of your creation, this is a day overflowing, once again with fresh possibilities and new opportunities, and a new season, not just around us, but within us. This is a day where we can choose and choose again to say yes to your offer and desire, for us to accept your gift of the fullness of life in all the ways that you mean for us to live in fullness, with love, service, sacrifice, forgiveness, and encouragement, given second chances even to complete strangers, in looking for and in finding the good, in feeding those who are hungry, caring for those in need, in finding and in working for ways of peace, and in being our brothers and sisters' keepers. In all of the multitude of ways that you have laid out so clearly, may we follow your will for us, to rise to the occasion and accept your help with greater strength, with perseverance and courage and persistence, to try one more time and one more way. This is a beautiful life, God, but one that needs not just your efforts and support and encouragement and forgiveness, but needs our efforts and support and forgiveness and encouragement. So for all our neighbors on the other side of the street and on the other side of the world, for all those in need, and even for those who we just met and will never meet face to face, may your love in all of its fullness shine upon them and shine through us. In our prayers, in our encounters, in our actions, in all these ways, and in all of our days, as partners in your loving service with gratitude and dedication, this we pray. Amen. And now is the time for the call to offering. We have a vibrant, loving, active, and giving church. Oh, if someone could please turn their phone off. Thank you. And this happens with the help of love and God, but also because we make it happen together through our gifts and offerings. So with our great love, our morning offering will now be shared by you, received in love, and shared again. Join me in the unison prayer of dedication found in your bulletins. We give our love and offer hope and help to others because God loves us. We give with cheerful hearts because we have so much for which we are grateful. May you receive these gifts, God, as expressions of our gratitude and care as we thank you and share your love now and always. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back. Either I really didn't mess up last time, or you were desperate, I'm not sure. But it's good to be here. Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, 39 through 56. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. You may remember Zechariah because he was the one who said that he was too old. He and Elizabeth were too old to have children. And God said, "Joke's on you." When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, and why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones, lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's come to the aid of the child Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Will you pray with me? Loving and living God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts bring your peace into this time we share. In the name of the one who loved so much, he loved from death back into life. Amen. It's not Christmas. It's not Advent. You're not wrong. And we're nowhere near that holiday season. Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth's home, a meeting we often reflect on, in the early weeks of December, leading up to Christmas morning. In liturgical time, this passage that includes Mary's song, or Mary's Magnificat, as you may have heard it referred to, it seems a little out of place. But I love it so much. And this is a good opportunity to bring it to light in chronological time because, in case you hadn't heard, it is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to the mothers and to those who have cared as mothers. In the story, Elizabeth is taken aback because John, who will later be known as John the Baptizer, I'm Baptist, and John wasn't the first Baptist, so I always have to say John the Baptizer. That's why I throw that in there. He leaps in Elizabeth's womb when she, Elizabeth, hears the sound of Mary's voice. Elizabeth responds with the refrain, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then, how does Mary respond? The scripture says she speaks, but you could also read it as she sings. And certainly the verses are set up so that it looks like a psalm. My soul magnifies the Lord. Who is Mary singing to, I wonder? Is she singing to calm Elizabeth, who's just been startled? Or to John to calm him in the womb, or to Jesus who hasn't been born yet either, or to God in praise? All of the above? None of the above? I'm terrible at standardized tests, so I can't answer this. But we sing in celebration. We sing in desolation. We sing in anticipation. We sing in jubilation. The music cradles us. It transforms us. Music is its own language. Musicians are the translators of that language. And like language, music is imbued with a particular power. The prophet Isaiah writes, "The mountains and hills burst forth into song, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Martin Luther, the same Martin Luther who nailed those 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, said, "If you sing, you pray twice." Thus was the power of music in Martin Luther's theology. A former professor of mine, don't tell Paul that I shared this, but a former professor of mine, Bernd Stanfield, used to say, "Well, you don't leave worship humming the sermon, do you?" For Burns, who was also a musician, there was a power there. It's all about the music. There's power in the simplest of songs. "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy." when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. When I was 11 years old, my family moved from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to Port Clyde, Maine, at the end of the summer, just before sixth grade. I've spoken about Port Clyde before from this pulpit because I promised Laura, I would mention Maine every single time I preached here. So, Laura, if you're watching, check. My parents wanted me to have time to say goodbye to my friends in Philadelphia, and so we made the move north to Maine just 2 days before middle school began. We arrived in our new home in the evening, and after unpacking some of our belongings, darkness crept over our new house. So new, we didn't yet know where the light switches were. Both of my parents are INFJs, and they raised an INFJ as well. So for those of you familiar with the Myers-Briggs personality profile, you'll know that I was a very sensitive child. My sensitivity manifested in a variety of ways. But on this first night in Port Clyde, it was the sadness of losing my elementary school buddies and the fear that I may not find new friends that produced a particular kind of anxiety. My parents and I camped that night on the enclosed porch overlooking the harbor where 50 or so lobster boats were moored. Now, while this protected inlet between the end of the St. George Peninsula and Hupper's Island would one day be the site where my best friend Jeremy Davis and I fished for mackerel and dropped lobster traps and tracked bluefish and chased seagulls and essentially created the stuff of narrative sermons, the dark waters seemed to me foreign and foreboding. Everything was new, the world was strange, the lights of the familiar city were 500 miles away. And I found the whole transition disorienting and overwhelming. So lying there in the darkness, I felt these hot, stinging tears start to stream down my face. My parents must have heard me because my mom came and sat next to me and started rubbing my back while my dad sat down at the upright piano left by the previous occupants of that parsonage. And slowly, gingerly, he began to tap the keys and sing, "Puff the Magic Dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu." At first, this only added to my disorientation. I'd been on this planet for 11 years, and I'd never heard my dad play the piano once. It was like the first time he fried an egg for me. My dad can cook, poof, mind blown. Despite the initial shock of this new reality, the softness of his voice, the sound of his fingers gently touching the keys helped me find rest. And as my mom rubbed my back, I slowly drifted off. This was, I believe, the last time someone ever sang me to sleep. Ironic, it being Mother's Day and all, and yet we all have the capacity to be maternal. This morning we're offered the Magnificat, Mary's song, because her words and experience have become an important part of our faith. I can only assume this wasn't the last time she sang to her child, later her children. That she, like so many other mothers, like so many other parents, sang Jesus and his siblings to sleep. We have written verses of lullabies that date back 4,000 years. there's a Babylonian cuneiform tablet that has a lullaby scripted into it. It's a long and rich history of mothers, parents lulling their children to fitful slumber. And Mary also experienced something else that far too many parents have also faced. She experienced the death of her own child. We have it right there. This is what our whole faith is based around. She outlived the one to whom she had given birth. The babe to whom she sang would be killed at the hands of authorities. Her pain was acute. In fact, so many lullabies, especially early ones, contain mournful words set starkly against lighter music. For some families, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star isn't a cute, lighthearted bedtime lullaby, but a soulful, haunting question about peace, resilience, afterlife. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, how I wonder where you are. Up above the world so bright, like a diamond in the night. Music and the hymns we sing together tell us something. They tell us something about ourselves. As sacred, matter-of-fact, authentic expressions of our most genuine selves, hope, love, joy, thanksgiving, doubt, all of these are expressed through sacred music. God's own lullabies and postludes and preludes and anthems and the cherubs' choir and hymns. The music rests on our hearts when they are most jubilant and most distressed. It offers peace in the midst of the dark night of the soul. If we listen still deeper, we will encounter the boundless, churning hum of a greater hymn. The living hymn of all creation. Life is an ode to joy, a hallelujah chorus. It's full of amazing grace and blessed assurance. It's music. All of it music. Even in the quiet rhythm of our breathing, the labored beating of our hearts, the infinitesimal whisper of pollen slipping free from petals, the wild charge of parents protecting their children in the depression of pedals and keys and the blast of organ pipes, the great celestial hum, the symphony of a trillion planets, a billion stars, a million solar systems, one universe, the polyrhythms of people and creatures and oceans and storms, the ongoing exhale of the great I am, God, God's self, still sighing, still speaking, still singing. There are stories of Border Patrol agents who experience a softening in their hearts when they heard light voices singing tender hymns through the border wall. There are hospice choirs who stand by the bedside of those near death and comfort them with familiar hymns at the end of their lives, mirroring the soft music perhaps offered to them by loved ones in their infancy, life's synchronicity of song. The Psalms are still sung as travelers ascend toward the gates of Jerusalem. They've been sung in various contexts for millennia. So could we imagine Mary singing from the 136th Psalm, God made the heavens and you with skillful hands. That divine love is an eternal love. God made the great lights of the sky. God made you. How beautiful the scene. Mary singing to her child Jesus a lullaby of love. My soul magnifies my God. My spirit rejoices in my Savior, for the Holy One has looked on my humble estate, and behold, from now on, from this point forward, all generations will call me blessed. We come here to love and to be loved, to build community together. Let Mary, friends, let Mary, the mother of wonder, inspire us to deepen our ties together to one another. Let our music and the songs of our faith guide us and bring us home on love's renewing tide. We arrive here Sunday after Sunday learning songs, hymns we could sing to each other as lullabies. Sweet songs of justice and gratitude and hope to pass on to our children, to our children's children, to those whom our relationship is so deep we treat as our own children. Because it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around will warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love once you've experienced it. May it be so. Amen. Friends, receive this blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you with mercy and grace. And may God's presence, which is already within you in that familiar tune you hum, go before you from this day forward in peace. Go in peace, friends. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.